You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
And an enormous, massive shout out to Audio Culture. You can check them out, audioculture.co.nz. This week for Audio Culture, we're taking a look at Music Documentaries, the New Zealand On Screen Collection, and we've got Dan Salmon in here. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
A prolific documentary maker and, you know, man about town, doing film stuff, I guess. What would you say? How would you describe yourself?
Oh, I generally describe myself as a documentary maker, but I've written a couple of books and I write stuff and I do a little bit of fisheries sort of political work as well. So I do a bunch of stuff, really.
Yes.
Like anyone who's trying to make a living in
the creative
this sort
industries.
Of world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, oh my God, I got to do this and this and this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, just cobble it all together, right?
Yeah.
Now, how did you get into documentary making? What was started that?
I did what was called the Diploma of Broadcast Communications in 1995, and it was the final year of that course, which took six people, had three full-time staff, full-on access to the gear, and clearly cost way too much for the university to run with that amount of people. So I did that, and I made two pieces as part of that course, both of which played on TV. So I came out saying I'm a director. You know, it took a couple of years people to believe me.
Yes.
and I've just always stuck to that.
In your article, it mentions how documentaries are such a great time capsule. You know, there's obviously the narrative and the arc of whatever's happening musically with the band and so forth, but there's so many images of like fashion and, you know, technology at the time. You know, there's such a like a wondrous glimpse back into the past. And it's not even that long ago. And some of these, you know, places and times and things just look so antiquated.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're a real treasure trove. And they're, you know, I love them on two levels. I love them as a viewer. And, you know, going back and learning about eras I don't know, but also remembering stuff that I lived through. But even greater as a documentary, they're a goldmine, because you can pour through them looking for images of eras and fashions. And often, I think because they're often youth-focused, you do get a lot of emphasis on fashion and look and the era. And so, you know, there's docos that I watched writing this article that I'd seen because I've poured through them looking for images before, like the Nambassa doco. I did a film, Dirty Bloody Hippies, 10 or 15 years ago, and we used heaps of the Nambassa film because it was perfect.
Yes. I mean, where does a lot of this archival footage, is there a standard vault that people go like, hey, look, I found this, and just pass it over to NZ On Screen or the New Zealand Film Commission or something like that?
Yeah, well, NZ On Screen has become the repository for publicly accessible archive. So, it's kind of our library is people from here. We can watch stuff, but there are, you know, there's a film archive, and there are other networks have, you know, TVNZ and TV3 have their own archives. So as a filmmaker, you can dive into...
You can go door knocking?
Yeah, you can dive into a number of different archives. You pay.
Yes.
But, you know, there's... And there's acres of unlabeled stuff too.
Yes.
So at times
do you get that at a discount if you're going into the unlabeled catalogue?
You should. You should, right? You know, I'll catalogue this for you. No. And you have to guess.
Yes.
You know, because I did a documentary about Helen Clark once where we wanted to focus on the five elections that she ran in.
Yes.
And so we were looking for things in the lead up to the election. So you'd go, well, I know there was this thing, and it would have been on the news, but what night was it on the news?
Was it the last time she ran and someone was like flying the Cessna around the Sky Tower? Did you get any of that news broadcast when, you know, it was election night and the
guy had
off with the plane from Ardmore because his girlfriend had broken up with him and he crashed it into the sea.
Yeah.
Man, that was, what an election night. That was just chaos. And we're like, oh, we don't even have an Air Force. We can't. He's like just flying around the Sky Tower.
And that's not the first time. You know, we've got a history of people stealing planes and, you know, the Springbok tour. Yeah. And yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a thing. Where are the keys?
Yeah.
I'm taking the plane.
Oh, they're just in the plane. Welcome to New Zealand, everyone. Okay, now, NZ On Screen. So you, NZ On Screen, hosts a bunch of these music docos that people can check out?
Well, they link to, yes, they do, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the audio culture article links to the ones I've written about.
Yes.
But you can go into NZ On Screen and write in music, reggae, music, country, you know, whatever you want, and mm-hmm. and a bunch come up. So they've got quite a few really interesting and some quite wacky music docos in there.
For you as a documentary maker, where does the initial kernel of an idea or the, you know, where does that spring from? Is it just your particular interest in music, or, you know, how do you decide that, hey, there's a story here, let's make a doco about it? Do you get approached by people, or are you?
Yeah, it's a mix. You know, people will ring me up and say, you know, I've got this documentary idea, can we put your name on it before funding? Some mm-hmm. people say, I've got this documentary funded, are you interested? Some ideas come to me in all sorts of ways, sometimes reacting against stuff, but you know, very few of them get funded.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, one of the best ideas I had was driving over the Harbour Bridge in a car that only had AM radio, so I was listening to talkback, and people were freaking out about something that was, you know, normal and progressive and happening anyway. And I sort of had this idea going over the bridge, you know, what if we made this series of documentaries that used the idea that they were happening to scare people?
Mm-hmm.
And then as a Trojan horse, got a whole lot of people talking really sensibly about it. So I did the series, What If 2050, where we posited a 2050 where New Zealand had gone fully organic, where we were a state of Australia, that was the bad news one, and where Māori had tina rangatiratanga.
Yes.
And, you know, two of them were good news stories. And mm-hmm. State of Australia, we were like a poor Tasmania. But that just came, you know, driving over the bridge, you go, yeah, God, people are stupid. How do we get into their heads? And
Now, do you have any favourite music documentaries that you've made or been, you know, had a hand in?
No, I have a favourite musical experience with a documentary, which was a doco I made, Pictures of Susan, about an artist who stopped talking when she was 4 years old and then stopped drawing when she was about 15 years old, and she hadn't drawn or spoken when I started making the doco when she was 58.
Mm-hmm.
And we were telling this sort of sad story, and while we were filming she started drawing again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been had a painting hung next to Picasso mm-hmm. since we made the doco. And you know, and David Long, who was Mutton Birds and a bunch of other bands, did the music for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those films where music and pictures, there was no hierarchy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was the coolest experience. And my then daughter, who was about six, I think, she went down to Wellington and sang this piece of one of David's songs. And yeah, so it's musical highlight so far. But I've worked with lots of good composers doing music and stuff too.
Mm-hmm. You know. Now we've got a couple of tracks lined up. There's a Herb's Tune or the Hamilton Country Bluegrass Band. Which one would you like to play?
Well, I wanted to choose the Herb's one because I have a good documentary story about it.
Yes.
I was flying to Tahiti with crew for the series Origins with Scotty Morrison, and we got on the plane and none of us had seen Te Ara Pukahi's new Herb's doco.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all, and you know, they don't put you together on planes anymore, which is nuts. So we're all in different parts of the plane and we all tried to hit play at the same time. And it was mm-hmm. really cool to be looking across the aisle and everyone sort of nodding and laughing in the same places.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of resonance of that for me was when I was 25, I went up to Mororoa and was arrested, and we were dumped in Papeete without any way of getting home. And I wound up at a nightclub where there were all these French Foreign Legion guys and gendarmes dancing around. And I was, you know, they were the enemy at the time because they'd been letting off nuclear bombs in the Pacific.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and I thought, shit, I wonder if, you know, and I had this idea. So I went and talked to the DJ and he put on this song. Mm-hmm. And he and I, looking across this nightclub, grinning at each other as these French military guys danced around to Herb's French Letter. So I reckon we should play that first.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the Herb's French Letter. I was just chatting to Dan Salmon, who's here in studio, about seeing that Herb's doco at the film festival, what I thought was like last year, but it turns out it's about 4 years ago. So, oh, shit.
It's a good watch, too.
Yeah, it's great. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's a few Herb's docos on NZ On Screen. It's a great watch. There's one of launching Sensitive to a Smile in Ruatoria is fantastic. You know, they made that when there was a lot of Rasta violence down there, and there was an arsonist around town, and in the middle of making it, the Rastas came out of the bush and they had this big apology. So it's, you know, it's part of history, that one.
We're also just saying that Audio Culture does this great job of, you know, capturing information about all these bands and stuff that spring up. And I was just thinking then, do you have any advice for maybe young bands or bands that appear on the scene, maybe they got friends, just try and capture as much footage as you can? You know, if you've got someone who's got access to a camera or an SLR, how would you go about sort of creating a document? Because you never know when that footage might come in handy.
Yeah, I reckon. I mean, I've got a couple of kids in bands and I shoot stuff with them.
Yeah.
but, you know, I think musicians tend to be friends with people who want to make screen stuff.
Yes.
You know, and so it's great having mates who shoot stuff. So it's always good to, if you're doing something, if you're recording or if you've got a gig or something, to get someone to come along and shoot. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we sort of look down on phones, but phones have 4K cameras now. So, you know, there's no reason not to shoot stuff. It's just keeping it that's the issue. You know, you get hard drives loaded up with all sorts of shit, and it's really hard to
catalog.
Make yourself sit down and go, keep the good stuff and ditch the bad stuff, you know, because I end up going, I give up.
I need another hard drive.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep it all.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, this is probably just like 101 with filmmaking, but also naming files and stuff like that, just be really diligent doing that, do you think?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a details guy, so I'm listening to you rather than...
And now, okay, now back to your article, which is up on Audio Culture. It's about basically music documentaries that are on NZ On Screen, a bunch that are free for you, dear listener, to go and watch at NZ On Screen. We've got something lined up here musically called the Hamilton Country Bluegrass Band, which is new to me. Where does this tie in? Is there a story that goes along with this in a documentary?
It's Hamilton County Bluegrass Band.
Okay.
Because they're kind of...
Oh, country.
It's
US
thing. They were a bluegrass band back when that was briefly cool. And I don't know why Hamilton. But the reason I was fascinated to see this is my mother, when she was in her teens, got a new motorbike and crashed into the woodpile and attached her retina and wound up in hospital with her eyes bandaged for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And she'd been supposed to go to the ball with the mandolin player of the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band. Mm-hmm. Couldn't go to the ball. So the whole band turned up in hospital and played a song to her.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, it's sort of one of those family stories you grow up with.
Mm-hmm.
And you usually, those stories don't have pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So when I sat down to, when they asked me to write this article for New Zealand On Screen, I was going through, I thought, oh, they got them. You know, and it was really cool to be able to put faces and kind of fashion to that too.
What was happening at the time when these young chaps turned up in hospital to play a song to your mother?
Yeah. And the film is what's it called? It's the something Pickers convention, but it was this big, you know, it's like the beginning of the Kumu Folk Festival back when all the young people turn up and everyone turns up in their Holdens and you know, it's the classic 60s cars and get into bluegrass, and it's cool, you know, the fashion is really funny, you know, looking I can't think of a better word, but you know, you sort of suddenly get this this old story of my mum's being illustrated while I'm writing an article for New Zealand On Screen was a really cool thing.
And actually
I once gave my little brother a banjo. It's like a long story, but I went and dug the banjo out from under my parents' house after watching this, and my son and I have been trying to learn basic banjo moves.
Yes,
you know,
let's hear it.
Thank you.
Amazing. Man, that's some playing. We need more banjo, guys, in all our lives.
That was called, I've found the name, Keep on the Sunny Side, which was about the National Banjo Pickers Convention. We should dust off the National Banjo Pickers Convention, clearly.
More banjo pickers conventions and more wood shopping.
BFM brings you.
Yeah. Hey, Dan Salmon, thanks so much for making the trek in. You can check out Dan's article, Music Documentaries, the NZ On-Screen Collection, up on audioculture.co.nz. And if you just want to go straight over to NZ On Screen, I'm sure it's pretty easily searchable.
Yeah, totally.
If people were going to start, what's a top three? Do you have a top three music docos that are up on NZ On Screen?
Oh, I quite like that we used to shoot visiting country music players.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a couple of great big country music players, you know, yep. They're in the country, and someone at TVNZ goes, let's make a doco, so there's them, there's the Herbs
mm-hmm.
doco, which yep. I was talking about, going down yes. to Ruatoria, that would probably yep. be my top pick,
mm-hmm.
and there's some pretty unusual docos to wade through. Maybe Nambassa is a good one to start with. The Nambassa Festival is cool, because docos can capture festivals in ways that you're phone canned.
Yeah. Excellent. Hey, Dan, thanks so much. Everyone, check out his article on Audio Culture.
That was
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.